welcome to Relationships 2.0 with author and clinical psychologist, Michelle Skeens. Michelle and her guests will endeavor to guide you through the pathways for self-understanding that will help you create and maintain safe and healthy relationships. You can find Michelle on the internet at michelleskeen.com. Now the host of Relationships 2.0, Michelle Skeens.
Good morning. Welcome to Relationships 2.0. My special guest today is Judy Reeves. She is the author of Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness. Welcome, Judy.
Good morning, Michelle. Maybe we should start off with a little howl.
I know. I was thinking it's going to be a wild hour.
I hope so.
Let's first talk about your journey and how you got involved in writing and then coaching and teaching workshops that are specifically designed for women to find their authentic voice.
I'm not going to go on a whole monologue starting when I was 8 years old because that's when I started writing. I'm going to skip forward many decades because after I had a career as a commercial writer, I mean, doing radio, television, newspapers, all of those kinds of things, like so many writers do when they, you know, they want to grow up to be writers and they go that direction. I kind of took a break from all of that, and something came to me one night in the bathtub when I was trying to warm my bones on a cold November night, the idea to open a writing center in San Diego. And this would be a place where people would gather to explore their voices, to do, you know, we'd have classes and groups and workshops. I had been involved with a journaling group, Jade, Journal and Diary Enthusiasts, and we did a lot of explorations of writing and coming together and working through books. And one of the books that that group worked through was Women Who Run with the Wolves, you know, Clarissa Pinkola Estes' beautiful book, and I think it was in the early 90s. And that book so inspired me that after a few years of having this writing organization, I started a group called Wild. I think the first time I did it, I called it Hot Nights Wild Women because in the summertime. And there was just something about, you know, the women writing together, writing our stories, that was so rich and went so deep. And, you know, as a woman, I know you have been in a collective of women. And when we, you know, when we get together and howl, as it were, you know, that laughter, all of that. It's just so supportive, deep, engaging, freeing, and wild. And so I started doing those Wild Women writing workshops over the years. And out of that came the idea that I wanted to take the material deeper. I wanted to reach out beyond my local level, and so that's how the book came from, and or where the book came from. Finally, after all, you know, after a couple of decades of doing those Wild Women writing workshops, but my own writing, then I was teaching writing, and I have a couple of other books out about writing do the same kind of thing, only not specifically for women, more about writing practice and writing groups and so on.
Yeah. What was it that you found about, I mean, clearly you were inspired by these groups of women and felt like there was a need for a book that specifically addresses women writing. I mean, as a writer, and I know that it's so easy to feel, to get stuck, to feel self-conscious, to feel like maybe you need to present a certain way or that there's a certain style that you need to adopt. And women tend to be so nurturing and accommodating anyway. So I can see where there, you must have witnessed a lot of hurdles that maybe are specific to women that you felt they needed to overcome and get in touch with.
yeah, just trusting that, trusting the writing, trusting the stories, and trusting the voice, and so creating that safe space for them, you know, to do it within that, within those groups, and getting, I don't know, there's something about being women writing together. Well, I think all of it, any group writing together, of taking more risks to be more honest and tell more, you know, go deeper into the stories than when we're doing it by ourselves. There's something about, you know, getting that support and courage from others. I think sometimes the women didn't, maybe they pushed aside some of their stories or pushed aside some of those feelings because, as you say, you know, to be appropriate in the world, this is how I need to be, as opposed to, you know, just really going deep and getting in touch with what really wants to be said. So many, you know, sometimes even the handwriting, I'll notice when it gets a little risky, the handwriting will get real small and real tight. Like we can't say these things out loud.
Yeah. Like,
so it's physical.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Like someone's whispering.
Uh-huh. Yes. And maybe, you know, and always in my groups, I invite, we'll do a timed writing to a prompt or to, you know, to an exploration. And then there's always the opportunity to read the work out loud after. And sometimes, you know, the voice will get really shaky. There'll be a lot of throat clearing.
Right.
But when they touch upon that truth, you know, saying the words out loud, sometimes the voice will get so strong. And once again, you know, you can feel it in your body when you're, there's an opening and you can just feel that you're telling the truth. And I'm not talking about really deep, deep secrets, things kept in the closet. Just,
right.
So, you know, this is my life. This is my experience. This is how I felt.
Yeah. So there's a lot of power in journaling. You talked about how, you know, initially you were in like journaling groups or you were part of it. Talk about that, because I think that there's a big focus on that now. And, you know, I've always encouraged that in my books as well as, you know, with my clients, because there's so much, there's a different kind of awareness when you're journaling than when you're just in your own thoughts and not putting it down on paper. What did you find so powerful in journaling? And
I think that when we can get ourselves out of our own headway, and sometimes my journaling is nothing more than a list of what I have to do today, and that's okay too because it gets it out of my head.
Right.
But spending that quiet time with yourself, and I think that's probably part of the key to it, is that you will go into this, you know, this other place. Like, I'm going to really sit here, be quiet with myself. I even light a candle every morning before I do it, just to signal to myself that I'm going, you know, into this place.
Yeah.
And there's something that can, it can be very cathartic, because we can write, nobody's going to see these pages, right? So we can write anything. We can say anything, and we can always tear the pages out. They don't have to stay there. But just having that freedom and privacy and knowing this is, sometimes I tell people to write on the front of the journal, this is private, read it at your own risk, you know?
Yeah.
So just, and that's more a message to themselves. But, and writing by hand, although I know many people, you know, use the computer now and will write by, you know, using the computer.
Online,
but
yeah.
I believe in writing by hand because it is a physical thing. And you can get in touch with your breathing. And if you just, you know, maybe take a breath and allow the pen to lead the way rather than thinking about what you want to write, just allow the pen to lead the way. It'll take you to places that you never knew, you know, writing dreams. God, I dreamed about Liz and Dick last night. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't written that dream yet. They were very old, but they were so in love. It was beautiful.
Some of your fellow New World Library authors who I've had on my show, like Robert Moss, for example, I'm sure you're familiar with him, but, you know, he's all about writing down your dreams and getting in touch with them and the meaning behind them, and using that as a way to access other dimensions that, you know, we're connected to.
Right. I know a lot of people keep dream journals. I don't particularly. Sometimes a dream will stand out like that one last night. But, you know, also the thing about the journal is that you can address particular, you know, there are different kinds of exercises that you could do, or prompts or whatever you want to call them, that will take you into different directions, you know. There are a number of books out, you know, about how to keep a journal, different ways to keep a journal, and journal conferences that go on, journal groups that meet, just to do this private writing. And that's what I think the difference is between keeping a journal and the kind of writing practice that I do, is one is this very private voice. And so you can make a list of, I know Oprah talks about doing, you know, just write 3 or 5 things you're grateful for, you know, having a gratitude journal.
Oh, gratitude journal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I used to keep a prayer journal. Every day I would write a prayer to start my day in my journal. And I have also done dialogues with my body, dialogues with work, dialogues with people who have died. I had a beautiful dialogue with my grandmother in my journal one time. And it's not, of course, it's not like all woo-woo and I'm really, you know, it's really grandmother, but it is a knowing inside that these, you know, this is what I want to say to my grandmother, and this is how her voice might come back, you know, to me as I knew her as a little girl.
Yeah, and, well, it's a way to stay connected to, even mm-hmm. though people's bodies have left this earth, to stay connected to the meaning and impact they had in your life, right?
Right. So we don't forget them. So we, you know, I come from a long line of, we all do, you know, there are all of these mothers before us, and to,
right.
keep hold of that. Writing, sometimes I write letters in my journal, and to people who I couldn't write a letter to in real life, just to say what I want to say, and writing a letter is a good way to access some language.
Yeah.
And maybe to
let go too. When you're talking about writing a letter to someone who, like, you wouldn't really write the letter to, is it to process some difficult feelings, or maybe to say something that you know they wouldn't be able to hear?
Exactly. And so I can bring it through myself by writing, by actually putting the words down. I can process that myself. And then the unsent letter. And then, you know, I can decide later, after I've written it and found out what it is I'm really feeling about that and what it is I really want to say, I can decide later, do I want to talk about this to that person, really, if possible. Sometimes, of course, we can't. But or is this enough? Am I finished with that? So the journal just serves so many internal needs, and also it's good for our writing practice. It keeps our writing muscles limber, you know.
Yeah, it really is important. And just like I was talking to one of my sons yesterday about how, I mean, he's my sons have both graduated from college, but just how important it is to keep reading. We were having this discussion about, you know, just that it's easy, you know, especially post-college, you know, you've been forced to read so much and deal with so much that, you know, for a while it's easy to want to, like, not continue reading. And then he was just saying that he wants to read more, that it's really great to keep reading and keep engaging our minds in that way. It's a different kind of process than watching TV or even reading something on the internet. To actually sit and read a book, just like sitting and writing, is so different than just thinking about what you would write and not putting it down on paper. In terms of the process, I agree with you. I hand write all of my books and then use the computer basically.
I do that too.
basically as a typewriter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like to be able to write something, and then I can always, I know people know how to do this on the computer, but, you know, I can always mark something out or add something in the margin, and I still read, you know, paper book, you know, books that have pages and stuff, so I can dog ear them. And I know you can do that on Kindle, and I just got a Paperwhite because I was thinking, I think it's called Paperwhite, because I was thinking that there's some books that maybe I would just get on Kindle and wouldn't have in my library. And I haven't been able to bring myself to read anything on it yet. It just looks so foreign to me. I've always just loved books so much.
I know. I'm with you. I'm with you all the way on that. I don't even have a Kindle yet. I know I downloaded some on my iPad because I'm traveling, and
right.
Everybody says, oh, you know, because, you know, you usually have to carry like an extra bag just for your books and magazines,
exactly.
Right? And
exactly.
Notebooks and pens.
Yeah.
And so I tried to do that, but I'm with you. I just love to take a piece of, you know, a book, a paper book, actual book with pages, take it to the park, take it to the cafe with me, you know, the reward of sitting in my chair in the corner at night after I've finished work just to read, or a Sunday afternoon, it feels like a reward to me. Anyway,
yeah,
but,
it really does. And there was just this article in the New York Times, I think this past Sunday, talking about how, you know, like libraries in homes are disappearing. And because so many people are now reading things on personal devices, and just talking about the days when you could put, you know, look at your parents' book collection and pull books down and see that, oh, wow, mom must have really liked this book. She dog-eared this and highlighted that. And I still have all that. I just had to do a purge. But it is really seeing the spines of books and the titles,
mm-hmm.
like, that's real art to me. You know, I love
it
that.
It is, yeah. One of the most precious gifts my mother ever gave me early on, there were three of us daughters, and she gave us this. It was a children's classics book club. And so every month we would get, oh, and these are the classics, like, you know, Tom Sawyer and like Black Beauty,
yeah,
the Jungle,
Little
all of those
women.
old.
Yeah.
Right. And so she gave us those early on, and she was a reader too. And it made my life what it is, you know, being modeled that way. I know everything is changing. I was on the floor doing yoga the other day, and I, you know, live in earthquake country, you and I had the idea that, oh my gosh, if the big one comes right now, I could be buried in all of these books and nobody would ever find me. But
yeah,
but
that would
still,
be a beautiful way to die, though.
What?
And really kind of poetic for you, right?
Yeah. I hope something really, really wonderful is the one that meanders, you know, some book that I have loved forever.
Yeah, it's the one that hit you on the head, the final.
Right. Right.
Well, it's interesting. I wonder if people, I feel like maybe it's always been like a common goal for people to say, and I'm sure now that, you know, you have, since you have books, that people say, oh, I'd love to write a book one day, or people say, I have a book in me, or, you know, it's a goal to be a published author. And yet so few people actually do it. And I mean, I wonder what the percentage is, but, I mean, a smaller percentage certainly than the people who are saying they would like to do it. And of
the
course,
people who actually do it, you mean, versus
yeah.
those who say, yeah,
yeah.
But one day
right.
I'm gonna, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. That's like one of those lifelong goals. So you must get a lot of women who come to your workshop with that goal, and I'm sure that you recognize. And of course, you know, we all know this, but everyone has a story, right? And
we have a 1,000 stories. You know, we could never tell all our stories. And I do, and not just women, because I do a lot of writing workshops and classes and groups and so on. Pardon me?
With men as well.
I'm sorry.
With men and women.
Yes. I do both. So Wild Women, Wild Voices is my fourth writing book. The one that I did first was called The Writer's Book of Days, and it's all about writing practice. And it has a prompt for every day. And I began bringing people together just at these drop-in writing practice groups where we would write for a timed writing, like 15 minutes or 20 minutes, 17 minutes on a prompt, just to get the pen moving and to start telling those stories. And coming together regularly, I find that people don't, like so many things, we don't set aside the time for what we really want to do, which is part of what the base of Wild Women, Wild Voices is that don't, you know, set aside the time for yourself, whatever it is that you want to do. But yeah, so many people have so this beautiful stories to tell, and they're not necessarily earth-shaking stories. They're not big stories, but there are life stories. There are stories of our life, of our connections with other people. And it's the stories. This is what I say in all my classes and groups, is that, you know, it's our stories that connect us as human beings. And it's a way that, you know, when you meet your pal in the, you know, you meet a friend in the green bean aisle at the grocery store, and the first thing you start doing is, you know, telling a story of just what happened today, or, you know, what my son did, just like what you were telling me about, you know, talking to your son about keeping reading. I mean, those kinds of stories we just keep telling each other. It's our human need, and it's necessary for us, I think, to tell those stories.
I think it's really necessary in terms of thinking about just creating a more compassionate world, that the more we can share our stories and people can, I'm sure you get emails like this too, but from my last book, Love Me, Don't Leave Me, I get a lot of emails from people saying, oh, I started crying when I was reading the book because I now feel like I'm not alone, that other people, like if it's being written about, if it's being said, then someone else is having this experience. And it's that sharing, understanding that we all suffer in some way, and having the creating a context where we can understand that and extend that understanding and compassion to other people, rather than feeling isolated and alone and not understood, not seen, or, you know, misunderstood. So I think that absolutely your work is really important for people to even get in touch with their own story. I mean, I'm sure you've had experiences where you've seen, you know, someone in your workshop who was maybe even in denial about a big part of their story, that they were able to have a breakthrough and maybe get in touch with something that had really been standing in their way because they didn't want to acknowledge it or bring awareness to it.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, when they'll be reading their work out loud, the words will come, and I've heard this again and again and again. I don't know where that came from. And they're so struck by the truth and the honesty of something that they've just written, or, my God, I haven't thought about that for years, you know, and getting back in touch with that. I think this need to connect and, as you say, you know, feel like we're not alone in the world has much to do, you know, with the popularity of memoir now. More and more people are coming to me wanting to write their memoir, wanting to write, you know, about their lives and put it out there in the world. And I think this is a good thing because, as you say, once we connect with somebody else and know we're not alone in the world, it's so much easier to go day in and day out.
Absolutely.
Not even to talk about the big things. Yeah.
Right. When you're talking about, so your book, Wild Women, Wild Voices, what is it that, explain to the listeners what you mean about wild and why that's such an essential part of this particular book that's designed for women.
The wild part is, you know, when I say wild women, wild voices, women's eyes light up. It is that there's something that they recognize inside themselves. Sometimes they might think it's, you know, a night in Las Vegas where what stays there. But more, I think it goes much deeper than that. I know it goes much deeper than that to this really authentic, responsive, creative part of ourselves and, you know, responsive to the world. Just that authenticity that this is who I really am. So often, especially in women's lives, we're told, this is how you should be, this is how you dress, this is how you look, this is what you say, you know, don't stare, don't say that, you can't go there, you know, all of this holding us back, when really that urge is to be all of it and do all of it. That's the honest urge that we have. We have to have this wildness trained out of us. And so I'm not talking about a kind of wildness that's going to get us in all kinds of trouble or cause
right.
all kinds of havoc in the world. I'm just talking about that authenticity and that really creative response to the world, you know, however that wants to come out. One of the second chapter in the book is called Wild Child, Wild Girl, you know, Initiation and Forgetting. And when I do the workshops and the explorations in the book, say, go back to a time when you were this wild child, when you knew you could do anything, be anything. I mean, if you ask a group of kindergartners who can sing a song, every hand goes up, you know, who can dance, every hand goes up.
Right.
And try that in the fifth grade and you're not going to see the same thing. So
right.
I say, let's go back and imagine yourself as that wild girl and write what you knew you would always, you know, and the prompt to start with is, I always knew I would. And oh, the stories, I always knew I would fly around the world. I always knew I would explore the jungles. I always knew I would tell stories. I always knew I would dance. And then I say, now, how does your life today compare with what you always knew you would? And it just, you know, how
do people cry?
Oh my God, yes. They cry and they laugh and they're so thrilled often to remember that little girl and her wildness and that she was not afraid of anything.
Right. She wasn't
love those little girls.
Yeah, she wasn't self-conscious and she hadn't yet started, you know, comparing herself to others and feeling like just acting out on all of that, like feeling less than or, you know, not good enough or.
Mm-hmm. And curious
mm-hmm.
about
right.
everything and wanting to touch and taste and, you know, feel and just, yeah. And then we start, you know, then a competition will start when we start getting grades and who can get, you know, and so there's that. And then also the direction of, and maybe they're well-meaning when they tell us, you know, color within the lines. You know, you can't, cows aren't purple. You can't, you know, look how big
right.
your flower is compared to that house. And so, and oh, I remember a look I got once from, we were singing, and I was just belting it out, and I got such a look from the teacher. I love to sing, but her look shushed my voice up until I was even embarrassed to sing Happy Birthday at parties because I knew that my voice was wrong. And,
yeah, you had gotten this message.
Yeah. So, you know, she really shushed my voice with just a look. And, you know, I'll admit to being maybe more sensitive than others, but still, you know, we have to be so careful. And
everyone
and
has those experiences, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're going to we're going to take a short break
okay.
and we'll continue this great conversation. Stay tuned. You're listening to Relationships 2.0. My special guest, Judy Reeves, will be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Do you panic when you don't receive an immediate response to a text, email, or a voicemail? Do you become clingy or demanding when you feel someone pulling away? Do you stay in unhealthy relationships because it's better than being alone? Or do you avoid relationships altogether? If you answer yes to any of these questions, you may struggle with fear of abandonment. This fear can trigger intense feelings of jealousy and anxiety that result in unhelpful behaviors that ultimately sabotage your relationship. Psychologist Michelle Skeen's powerful book, Love Me, Don't Leave Me, will help you develop a new perspective about yourself and others, and you will learn to recognize and change the behaviors that are hurting your relationship. You deserve to have closer, loving, and lasting connections. To find out how, go to www.michelleskeen.com. That's www.michelleskeen.com.
America's wounded warriors are coming home. After serving on foreign shores, these brave men and women are returning to their families and communities. Many have wounds you can see, and many have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Now that these warriors are back home, they are ready to enter the civilian workforce. To help, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These extraordinary men and women bring proven world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork to the job. And to ensure the right warrior finds the right job, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right match. When you hire a wounded warrior, you hire an intelligent, talented, and committed new employee. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
Do you tend to overreact and let your emotions rule your interactions with others? Do you become defensive or find it difficult to see things from another's point of view? You're not alone. Despite the fact that we all have to deal with people in our daily lives, many of us have difficulties with interpersonal relationships. My suggestion? Pick up a copy of the Interpersonal Problems Workbook. This workbook combines powerful evidence-based techniques for strengthening relationships in all areas of your life, whether it's at home or work, with a significant other, a parent, or your child. To find out more about the Interpersonal Problems Workbook, go to www.michelleskeen.com. That's www.michelleskeen.com. Pick up a copy and improve your relationship.
And now back to Relationships 2.0 with your host, Dr. Michelle Skeen.
Welcome back. I'm chatting with Judy Ruth, and I want to give you her website address so that you can access more information about her as well as her other books. It's Judy, J-U-D-Y, Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S, writer, W-R-I-T-E-R.com. So, Judy, what are some of the continue what you were saying before we went to break, if you like.
Michelle, I don't remember what we were talking about.
Okay, perfect.
Sorry. I must have been finished with that.
Yeah. What are some of the, do you have an order in which you go about the prompts to kind of ease into getting in touch with the authentic self? I mean, I imagine it's not always easy with everyone to get them to open up in a way. You know, we were talking about how, you know, for women, there's kind of been a prescribed way to behave and, you know, and dress and what our role in society is and polite things to say and what you don't discuss and all of that. So now you're giving women permission to maybe discuss things that felt taboo before. How do you start
awful with that.
I mean, in the groups and expanded in the book, I will use I'll read sections maybe from a book that another woman has written, maybe a quote, talk a little bit about some history behind that or anecdotes, and just, you know, and try to involve them too, like pass around, okay, well, you know, you read this poem, and so there'll be a poem and somebody will read that, and so each person will have a voice. And in the book there are some of these anecdotes and poems and quotes and so on like that that just kind of go through like dropping breadcrumbs, you know, through the forest. So we follow those through until we come to the magical house, and the magical house is, you know, now write your own story about that. Here's the exploration to look at that. And I will often provide not just a prompt to start writing, but maybe make a list of all of the times, you know, let's just say physical sensations. Make a list of all of the times that, you know, you felt this way with your body. Make a list of the physical sensations of your body, and write the sensory details down in a list and just kind of splatter them all over the page. Or write about a time that, you know, write all of the times that you have been in love, you know. Name all of, you know, put the names down on there. Even if you can't remember the name, put down some descriptive thing. Or, you know, so something like that, to loosen it up. And then I'll say, okay, now look away from that page. Take a couple of deep breaths. Now let's look at the page again, the one that, you know, it's kind of vibrating on the page there, the one that has energy. Choose that one, and we'll do an expanded writing on that. And we'll maybe write for, you know, 15 minutes or however long. In a group, I always do the timed writings, but, you know, for people who are working through the book themselves, I also advise them to maybe set the clock, because there's something about an intensity of time. And so in that way, not only can, you know, you write about that boy that you had, that girl you had the crush on when you were in grade, but also, you know, your husband or wife who died, you know, 10 years ago. Those are all there, and you've got them in a list now, and you can just go back to that again and again. And once you've started telling one story, another story will be easier to tell.
Right.
And I also say, you know, if one of them calls out to you and you deny it, then you're kind of setting up a block at the palace door. You know, for every story that wants to be told, there's always going to be the who goes there. So if one comes up and you don't want to write about it, start by saying, I really don't want to write about this because, you know, and just go entering through the back door that way.
It might be painful. It might be a painful memory or experience. And certainly, you know, everyone has those at, you know, some point in their lives. In addition to, as people are working their way through the book, it sounds like you have a time of day that you dedicate to your writing. And I think that the more that people can create a habit with what they're doing and identify a time of day that is going to be most successful for them to, you know, meet their goal of writing for 15 minutes or keeping a journal, the better it is than just having that on your somewhere on your to-do list, right?
Right, because we all know how, you know, that can get set aside. Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, today I have a class at the Y at 11:30, and I was thinking, well, gosh, maybe I just won't do that today because. But when my sister she's had her foot operated on, so she's not doing it with me now. But when we were going together, I never missed it. You know, yeah, I'll meet you there. So, but there is something about have that habit of it. In fact, Flannery O'Connor calls it that. She calls it a writing habit. And it creates, you know, it's like your body when you get on the massage table, how your body is ready to accept the massage. The same thing happens when you set aside this time and you do whatever. I call them rituals. I know that, you know, that maybe sounds a little woo-woo or something to people.
No, I don't
think so. But we need these rituals in our lives. Yeah. And so I light the candle, I get my book, I sit in my chair, and when I do that, the body, and it sends an even deeper signal inside that's like, now we're going to do the writing. So everybody kind of gets ready for it. It's like a dog who knows when it's time to go for a walk or something, you know. We just know these things.
Right.
So it's so important, too. I think it is. I also, you know, even the idea of, like I was, the example of going to the gym with my sister, how I won't miss it if I'm going to go with her, and it's easier for me to say, well, maybe I won't go today because it's by myself.
Yeah.
So if we set aside a time to meet with somebody else, and even if we can't meet with them physically, if we can meet with them virtually, like, you know, calling a friend
even
and saying, even Skype. I mean, and yeah, I'm going to go to the stats today and do that. And my friend who's in, Vero Beach, Florida says, well, I'm going to go to such and such a place and we're going to do it at the same time. And then we check in and with each other at the end and how'd that go? And it just makes it so then you can build that kind of habit for yourself.
Have you created any online communities?
That comes next.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be really terrific. For a lot of people, so that they don't, I mean, of course, people can access you through your books, but otherwise, you're really doing most of your workshops in San Diego, is that correct?
Right, most of them are here. Sometimes, like I was at Book Passage a couple of weeks ago doing workshops there, and I'll go here and there, but you're so right, and I have done them with different people who do have online groups. I've done writing practice groups with them, and it's just really fun. So that's, I'm doing my plan for 2016, and online groups is definitely one. I'm going to create an online group to work through Wild Women, Wild Voices, you know, to work through that book. Definitely. So many people have asked me to do that, and I really want to do that, and I'm a little afraid of the technology, but I can overcome that. Jump in there and do it.
Thank you
for saying that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea, because I was thinking about how community is so important to people. And it's such a big part of what can help motivate people so much to feel like they're a part of something. And like you were saying, like checking in, having, knowing that you're not just accountable to yourself. We can always kind of dismiss ourselves and say, oh, you know, that's okay. I don't need to do that today. But when you have people who are, you know, paying attention, it makes a difference.
It really makes a difference. That's one of the reasons that I started this, you know, nonprofit writing organization, just because I love community. I had been meeting with the women in my women's group doing the journaling work, and I can remember growing up, my mother and her friends having what they used to call a coffee klatch, and I would be underneath the table listening to these women. I mean, there's something about us gathering together in community to do whatever it is that we do.
Yeah.
That, it offers support. It offers inspiration. It offers that connection that just is so important.
Yeah.
I'm a great believer in community.
And also as, I would imagine, I mean, throughout people's lives, writing is great, but, you know, as we have an increasing aging population, how great for people who might be housebound or have limited abilities to get around to be able to be part of a writing community led by you and be able to express themselves. I think older people, elderly, have so many great stories to share that could be so enriching for everyone.
Oh, we need those stories, don't we?
Yeah.
I think we definitely need those stories.
I think it's really important to stay connected to populations, and certainly the elderly are one of those populations, or even people who have disabilities that would limit them from going somewhere, that those stories are really rich. And as these populations that are more marginalized, to keep them in our community and not forget about how important they are and how much they can bring to our lives, that they shouldn't be dismissed.
There are many writers who will go to prisons, go to jails, they'll go to hospitals. I've worked a lot with I used to work with in the recovery field at alcoholism recovery. I used to go to a treatment center every week, and we would do writing together. And the stories. I mean, it was part of the protocol for of the treatment.
Yeah, recovery,
but also,
yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people now who are working with vets who are coming back. Some of my friends here in San Diego.
Terrific. I mean, that's such an important population, the stories, and to be able to write about that trauma and those experiences that have so impacted their lives. And I know that it's changed for some of the younger vets, but I know with a lot of the older vets from World War II and Vietnam, that there was a lot of shame around talking about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet there were so many important things that for them to share.
And important for us to hear the stories, because if we don't hear the stories, then that can be something that happens over there that doesn't touch us. But it does touch us, and the stories will bring it home to all of us.
I also think that whether people are, I don't know that people really support war, but I think that no matter what your views are on the way that conflict is handled, that we always have to support our military and the men and women who put their lives on the line, and to understand just what they have chosen to do and the consequences of that, and how grateful we should be as the people who are protected by them.
Oh, absolutely. My grandson's going into the Air Force this month, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm really proud of him, and this is what he wants to do, and I support him in that. And by the same token, I'm afraid for him to go out into that world too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's really important to let him know that, and to let him know both those feelings. And
Yeah, and that's great. I'm sure that while he's passionate about making that choice, that there is some fear there as well.
Mm-hmm. I imagine. Yeah, it's like grown-up stuff. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're actually located in a really great place for all of that. There's a lot of, I've interviewed a couple of people down there who work at the VA and who are doing some really great work. And you have a big military population there, and they're struggling with a lot of trauma and the coexisting addictions that often go along with that.
And we see too, because I think of our climate and because of returning military, and we see a lot of homeless also, and that is a population that I've also worked with some of those through some of the service centers, where we did writing workshops. They would come together. I think it was with Joan Crock shelter that I did some writing workshops with the women, and we had a reading after we had done it was so empowering for them to, you know, to have someone listen
right.
to them. Yeah.
And yeah, to feel heard. When the women in your groups or even the mixed groups are going around, but we're talking about your book, Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness, is there a reluctance on the part of anyone initially to share?
Oh, sure. And that's why I always say, you know, it's always volunteer. And, you know, we want to hear the words, we want to support them. And it's not the rest of us who are listening to the reader are not listening to judge or to analyze. We never give critique or feedback on that work. That's not the kinds of groups that these are. Instead, we're just kind of silent witnesses to the process. And so I say, you know, and many, you know, some people, some women are reluctant to read their work. They, as the group goes on, they, you know, and people get to know each other and trust each other a little bit more. But, you know, telling your story to people you don't know, you don't know, you know, how vulnerable do you want to be?
Right.
So I try to create a really safe environment. We laugh a lot. And, you know, if you don't want to read the whole thing, maybe there is just a line in there. Maybe there is just an image that you want to just read part of it. And once they say, well, yeah, maybe I'll just read this little part, then they read the whole thing.
Right.
So sometimes it's just the encouragement that nobody is going to critique it. You know, if people are judging it, as we sometimes do, we can't help ourselves. That's what our brains want to do. Nobody's going to say anything. You know, there's not going to be any critique or feedback, and that kind of makes it a safer place too. And also, I say, let's just read the words on the page, not explain before or you know, don't apologize.
Oh, right. Don't do
for
an
writing.
Introduction, yeah, of what you're going to,
yeah.
Right?
Right, exactly. Let's just read the words on the page and let them speak the story that wants to be told, however it's told. And, you know, nobody is ever required. And often, of course, there'll be tears in the middle of it. And so that's the part where I think it's just so important just to hold the space and allow that to be. Just take a few deep breaths and everybody just sits in silence and holds that until the person feels strong enough to read again. And I always encourage them to continue, because if they stop, and you probably know this too, Michelle, in your work, you know, if you stop and hold it in, then it wants to come out, and the tears are just, you know, it's so deep that sometimes if we can just get past that, the rest of the story will come out then. But if we hold it in, then that's where it's going to be, once again, tucked down some safe place where we don't feel the pain or feel, you know, whatever it is.
And, you know, the thing is that tucked away, I mean, you are experiencing the pain. It's just that it's manifesting differently. You know, there's a way in which it still is impacting your life, and it's still directing your choices and your behavior, and bringing that to light and bringing awareness to it and acknowledging it, it can have such a profound effect. And then it can no longer control you.
Right. And you don't have to do anything about it. You know,
right.
Sometimes you just saying it, just putting it out there into the world dissipates some of that. You know, maybe there are things that you'll want to follow up and do after you discover this story that, you know, was in there. But oftentimes it's just the telling of it that is free, and being heard can be so free.
Yeah, and also I would imagine that process and, you know, people being accepting is also eliminates a lot of the shame that people have around some of their stories.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons I think having, you know, Wild Women, Wild Voices, not Wild Voices, you know, not making it for everyone, that women can come. And I know this is true for men's groups as well, although I've never, you know, I've thought about putting on a fashion disguising myself and going in to be a fly on the wall. But I know the same thing happens, you know, that there's a safety within our own tribes, our own kind.
Are you seeing, when you do the groups, are you getting mostly kind of middle-aged women, or are you seeing a lot of young women come in? I feel like there is, I mean, I'm sure it's not true of all young women, but I think with blogging and with some of the just things that are on the internet that they've been exposed to, that they seem to be more open in some ways.
I would say mostly it is women who are over 40, you know, mid 40s, 50s, even on up to, you know, older women. But also in every group there seems to be younger women too. You know, maybe last time I did the Wild Women group, we had this wonderful, charming, delightful, I think she was 22 or 23 or something like that, and we went all the way up into our 70s. So it was a really interesting mix.
That's
and I fabulous. Liked, I know, I love that diversity. And oh, we had so much fun, and we laughed and we cried. There was a young mother there who, and you know, she just had this new little girl, and I like it when we can mix the ages. I think, you know, we learn from each other, and it's important for us older women to listen to these young women. What are they going through? What's their life like now? And,
right.
Yeah, and for them to hear our stories, too.
Absolutely. We have a few minutes remaining, and I'd love for you to talk about anything that you want to talk about that's in your book or that you want people to know about you.
Well, one of the things that we didn't talk about, we've talked about the wild women part, but we haven't talked about the writing part, that wild voice.
Yeah.
And so before we leave each other, I would just like to say that you don't have to be a writer to write your stories.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know how to do it. Your grammar can be terrible. You don't have to know punctuation. You don't have to know any of those rules. Even the language that you use doesn't have to be elevated. That wild voice is the one that wants to come naturally. And so to let that come out, and then if you discover something that is in the story and you want to work on it, maybe you say, you know what, I do want to write more. Then you can find a teacher or find a group and learn more about the craft of writing. But just writing the stories, you don't have to be a writer to do it. You don't have to label yourself a writer. You don't even have to know what you're doing. Just start moving the pen, you know, and let the stories
right.
come. And in any way they want to come. And don't get in the way, and don't correct the spelling, and don't worry about any of that stuff.
Right.
Just,
very much
yeah.
like when we were little kids and first drawing
yeah.
pictures or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? It wasn't perfect, and it didn't have to be, and it was just about expression. I think, you know, your book does a really great job of just freeing women to express themselves. Like, don't have rules, don't have these boundaries around your writing. And you have great exercises and prompts in the book that are helpful to people. And your book is very nurturing too. And
oh,
I think
good.
That's really important for someone who is starting this kind of journey to feel, you know, really held. And you do a great job with that, Judy. And
thank you, Michelle.
Talking to you's been such a treat. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on my show and talk about your work.
Oh, thank you. It's been really, I couldn't believe when you said we only have a few minutes left. It's just gone so fast. It's
the hour goes
enjoyable.
Quickly, right?
Wow. yeah.
Everyone's always so worried that an hour, I can't talk about myself or my book for an hour. I'm like, you'll be surprised. I know you can do it. It goes very quickly. Well, especially when it's a great conversation, which it has been with you. And have a great holiday season and all the best in the new year. Again, the book is Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness by Judy Reeve. Go to her website. It's a beautiful website.
lots of stuff on there and do this for yourself.
Yes, I will.
Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, Michelle. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
I'll be back next week with another great guest. Time, be well.
Okay, you can talk amongst yourselves.
Judy, thank you so much. What
thank you.
You're wonderful.
It was. I'm so glad to meet you this way, Michelle. I hope that